Down our series on greater. I'm not sure how much longer we'll be going on that. This may be the last one. There may be more to come. We'll see is how I feel the Lord is leading me this week. But I'll be praying about what we preach next. I'm praying about preaching through a book. We like to alternate kind of topical series and preaching through books of the Bible. And so I'm praying about that. So if you would join me in prayer, I would greatly appreciate it. Today I'm preaching a message entitled Greater Freedom. Greater Freedom. Last week we celebrated the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Revelation 1:5 says, "All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us." Why did Jesus die? He shed his blood. Why? To save us? Yes. To give us eternal life? Yes. To cleanse us and forgive us? Yes. But he also shed his blood so that we could live in spiritual freedom. He died on a cross, not just for our sins, but on that cross he defeated the enemy and allowed us now to walk in the power of his freedom. John 8:36 says, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Amen. Indeed means really, truly free. Not a little bit free, not halfway free, not occasionally free. Some of us celebrate or are happy with a little bit of intermittent freedom that comes occasionally. But Jesus came to set us free, really, truly free. And we can be free. We can be free of addictions. We can be free of life-controlling issues and bondages like lust and anger and greed. We can be free of the things that hold us down or hold us back. We can be free of bad attitudes. We can be free not just from things, but we can be free to some things. We can be free to love unconditionally. We can be free to worship unashamedly. We can be free to give unselfishly. We can be free to live supernatural in the power of the life, of the power of the Spirit. But for many of us, freedom seems like some kind of unattainable dream. There are some people that just don't think I can be free. I'll never be free of this. Some of you have probably even said those words. I'll never be free of this. We see it in the Bible. We hear it in sermons. Yep. But then we look at our own lives. Yep. And many times when we look at our lives, instead of victory, what we see is defeat. And instead of freedom, we feel that we're bound up with addictions. Instead of walking in holiness, we keep falling into sin. Instead of self-control, we keep being out of control. That's how it looks to us. And we try really hard. And we experience a little victory here and there and a little freedom here and there, but we can't seem to hold on to it. That is so true of so many people. They can't seem to hold on to the freedom that God gave them. Galatians 5:1 says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." I love that. Christ set you free for the purpose of freedom, of being freed. Stand firm then. Now listen, stand firm and do not let yourself be entangled again by a yoke of slavery. He's specifically talking about legalism and walking in a legalistic view of God and the Word. But it's true regarding anything. And look, I want you to see a couple of truths here. Christ died to set us free, right? But it's our responsibility to stay free. We allow ourselves to be entangled. We allow ourselves to be entangled with sin, to be enmeshed with people we shouldn't even be in relationship with. We allow us to get bound up and caught up with things we should not be caught up in. The New Living Translation says it this way, "Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free." Stop blaming God. Stop blaming your spouse. Stop blaming your parents. Stop blaming anybody else. It's your responsibility to stay free. It's your responsibility to stay free. Jesus died to set us free, but we have an enemy who wants to keep us bound up in some kind of slavery or addiction or something. He doesn't care what binds us as long as we're bound up. You see, getting free is one thing, but staying free is something else. Getting free is great. Staying free is greater. And I'm talking about greater freedom today. Now, there's so many ways I could go in this sermon. There's so many ways I've taught this in the past. I've taught whole sermon series on spiritual warfare. I've taught whole sermon series on spiritual armor. We've taught a whole sermon series on how to close the door to the devil so he doesn't have access into your life all the time. We spoke on the authority of the name of Jesus, the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. We've talked about and taught about how to overcome strongholds, how to overcome addictions, how to overcome generational curses. We've taught a lot of times on all of those things. You can look them up on our website or our app if you need to go back and refresh your memory. But today I felt to take a little bit different approach. And here's what I'm going to talk about. My first point is this. To have greater freedom, we must lay the axe to the root. For those of you who were in the men's breakfast yesterday, we had a guy here that spoke a few minutes, and he talked about this very thing, and it blessed me because I told the men, I'm preaching on this tomorrow. You better come back and get a full dose of this. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist preached a sermon to some people bound up in legalism, but he gives us a big key to change in verse 10. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Here's a principle I'm talking about today. When you're not bearing good fruit, lay the axe to the root. When the fruit of your life, when I say fruit, I'm talking about outward behavior. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your works. I'm talking about the life you're living. Is it good? Is it holy? Is it a blessing? Is it living in righteousness? Or are you constantly living in failure, living in sin, living in mistakes and messing up? What's the fruit? What's the result? What is the result of your life and other people? What results are you seeing in your family from your life, from your works, from the way you're living? What results are you seeing? That's fruit. And when you're bearing bad fruit, you've got to lay the axe to the root. Yeah. It's not going to just go away. What we do is try to deal with the symptoms rather than getting to the root cause of the problem. It's like you get a broken arm or a broken leg, and all you do for it is you take a pain pill. Well, it might make you feel a little bit better for a while, but the problem is still there, and it's only going to get worse if you don't deal with the root problem. True change in our lives means we got to deal with root issues, and then we have to lay the axe to the root of the bad consequences in our life. We all have areas in our life where we just try to control our outward behavior. We're just telling ourselves all the time, stop it, don't do it, stop. Dealing only with outward behavior. But if the issues are in the heart. The root issues are in the heart and in the mind and the way you think, the way you feel. You're out of your spirit, man. If you're only dealing with behavior, you're missing the point because it's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. So you can stop trying to cuss all you want to, but if your heart don't change, it's still going to come out. You might have a problem with putting people down or condemning others or accusing them. And until you have a heart change, you can try to stop that all you want to. And please try to stop. But please, lay the axe to the root. There's something there that's causing that. And if you don't deal with the root, if you don't lay the axe to the root, listen, it will always come back. Trying to help you today. Pastor Deb and I just had a tree cut down in our front yard, and it was a root issue. This tree had roots that we didn't know this. Never plant a live oak in your yard. Please do not do it. I'm going to try to save you. We didn't know this when we planted it 20-something years ago, but not only does it drop leaves, it drops acorns, and then at another time of year it drops pollen, so you're constantly picking something up. But the roots are shallow, and over years they started coming up, and when they come up above ground, they kill your grass. Your yard just, we had roots all over our yard. So when we had them cut down the tree, we had to tell them, you got to grind out all of these roots. I went out there and painted with a spray paint all the roots. So they could see, I want every one of these roots gone, because I knew what would happen. When we built our house in Arlington years ago, we planted a cottonwood tree out in the front, and we liked it because it was fast growing. It was great. In a short amount of time, we had a shade tree in our yard. But the problem with cottonwoods also is they have shallow roots. And they were so shallow that little trees would begin to grow up out of the roots into my yard. And all I would do is just, when I was mowing, I would mow over them, and so that they would never grow into other trees all over my yard. But whenever I mowed it someplace, it would pop up somewhere else. Some of y'all playing whack-a-mole with your life. You're hitting it over here, and it pops up over there. You're hitting it there, and it pops there. And then you ain't even getting no tickets out of a machine. You're just whacking moles and wearing yourself out. I'm trying to help you today. We eventually sold that house, and the new owner, took care of it by chopping the tree down. He laid the axe through those roots. And listen, I'm telling you, it's something we've got to do in our own lives if we're not bearing good fruit. Fruit always comes from a root. The fruit of a tree starts from the root. And if you have good fruit in your life, it comes from good roots. If you have bad fruit, it comes from bad roots. And you'll never get rid of bad fruit until you deal with the roots. What are the roots that need to be axed so we can live in freedom? Well, there's a lot of ways to go, and I would be praying. I'm telling you, all of us need to be praying. God, show me, give me discernment. Give me the spiritual discernment. Give me discerning of spirits. God, what is driving this? What is driving me? Why does this bad fruit keep coming up? But Jesus came to earth to accomplish some things on our behalf, and I think we get a key. It's not the total thing, but we get a big key from this out of Luke 4:18-19, when Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to those who have been oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus was anointed to do those six things. He wants to do those six things in your life. And then he wants us to help others. He wants us to minister those six things to them and in their lives. You see, freedom that comes into our lives is great. But greater freedom is when you start helping other people get set free. Just like we always say, hurt people. Listen, free people. And we walk in freedom, not just for our own freedom, but so that we can do the works of Christ. He commissioned us when he left, right? Do the works that I did. So freedom comes into our lives when we believe the gospel truth that he preaches to us when we are poor in spirit. Greater freedom comes when Jesus heals our sickness and the broken areas of our life, the brokenness of our hearts, the brokenness in our minds, the brokenness in our ways of living. He wants to heal that and set us free. And greater freedom then comes when we receive spiritual truth so that our blindness is gone. The Bible says that the enemy wants to blind the eyes of unbelievers so they can't see the knowledge of the truth. But Jesus wants for us to receive truth, because truth sets us free. Listen to me. Some people reduce dealing with the devil always down to a power encounter. Listen to me. A lot of times it's a truth encounter. A lot of times it's a truth encounter. It's not always a power struggle between us and the devil or other things we're fighting, but sometimes it's a truth, and we need to realize the truth, because the enemy's major, major, major tool is deception, to deceive us, to get us to believe wrong things, and that causes us to live in wrong ways, and that's a root in our life that needs to be cut, and you need to always deal with deception and delusion and be in the Word and live in the Word and abide in the Word and continue in it, because it's truth that sets you free. And it says that Jesus gives us greater freedom when he sets us free from areas of captivity and areas of oppression in our lives. Jesus came to do those works, and he wants to do them in us, and he wants us to then minister them to others. You see, we have an enemy who wants to keep us enslaved. He wants to keep people in bondage, not freedom. He wants to keep you in poverty, not abundance. He wants to keep you under the curse, not blessed. And the first thing he does is try to deceive us so that we don't even know that we can be free. Think about that. Think about Juneteenth. We're going to celebrate here in a couple months in Texas, when the news of the slaves getting set free came to the slaves in Texas. It was how long after the Emancipation Proclamation? It was like a year and a half or more. I forgot the date, but it was years. And the people just didn't know. You're free. What do you mean we're free? Oh, yeah, that was proclaimed. And I'm telling you, you're free. It was proclaimed over 2,000 years ago on a cross in Jerusalem, where Jesus came to die to free you from your sin and to free you from all the bad roots in your life that want to keep controlling your life. Listen, we all feel at times like something is controlling us, and we're trying our hardest, but we got these roots in our lives that we got to keep dealing with. And if you're not a believer, the devil wants to keep you from hearing the good news. You won't have hearing ears about freedom in Christ. If you are a Christian, he wants to keep you bound up by deceiving you about the freedom that is available to you in Christ Jesus. He wants to keep you from the truth, because as Jesus said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Many people never get free because they don't know truth. They don't know truth. And previous to this, it says, abide in my word, continue in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's your responsibility. Are you continuing in the word? Because as you're in the word, guess what? Some roots will be revealed to you. As you're in the word, God will speak to you. When you read your Bible, pray, God, speak to me. What do you want to say to me today through your word? And God will reveal some things. You know what, son? You know what, daughter? Here's a root that needs to be dealt with. And you deal with it, and you experience more and more and greater freedom. But some people are not free because they are comfortable, listen, being stuck right where they are. I love you enough to tell you this today. It's familiar. It's all, listen, the word familiar, it comes from the word family, same root, familiar. It's what we grow up with, it's what we know, it's what we've always experienced, that's all we believe there is. But listen, there's something beyond that, and you'll never change until you become uncomfortable where you are. As long as you're comfortable with the temperature in your house, you'll leave that thermostat where it is. But if you start getting too hot or too cold, you're going to change it. You're going to change it because you begin to get uncomfortable. It's the same way in life. Some of us need to pray, God, make me uncomfortable, Lord, with things in my life that are not of you. Some of us are too comfortable in our sin, too comfortable in our lack, and we'll never change as long as we stay comfortable where we are. But what about us who have been set free, we know the truth, we don't want to be stuck, yet we still struggle? It's because lasting change will never, ever, ever happen until you lay the axe to the root. Sins of the fathers, generational sins and curses, keep getting passed down from generation to generation until somebody says, enough, no more, no longer, I'm laying the axe to this root. Listen, we have an enemy who wants to keep us bound up, and he'll use any means necessary to do so. And if we experience a little bit of freedom, listen, he works extra hard to get us enslaved again. That's why losing weight is one thing. Keeping it off is another thing. I've lost thousands of pounds in my life. I'm serious. Getting out of debt is one thing. Staying out is another. Getting free from an addiction is one thing. Staying free is something else. Many people go back to their addiction. Or I tell you a common thing, and a lot of people don't even realize it. What they do is they switch addictions. Boy, this is a trick of the enemy. I quit smoking and I gained 50 pounds. Well, what did you do? You replaced addictions. You replaced smoking with eating. By the way, I heard about a prisoner who was in prison in Australia, and he tried to escape by hiding in kind of underside of this van that was delivering bread to the prison. He thought he had figured, I got a way out of here. Nobody checks this underneath. They don't look under there when they leave. So he got under there and find a way to hold on. And the van, he was outside the prison. Of course, the van was on a highway. He couldn't drop down. So he had to wait till it stopped again. And so when the van stopped again, he kind of dropped down out of the van. And he was, you know, getting up and congratulating himself on how smart he was to get out of that prison, when he discovered, to his dismay, he was in the yard of another prison just 4 miles down from the other one. And like that prisoner, many of us, with our own attempts to get ourselves free, end up 4 miles down the road of life in another prison. We've just switched prisons. We've just switched addictions. And when we attempt to set ourselves free, depending on ourselves and not on God, we usually end up like that prisoner, dejected, dirty, and in another prison. And that will keep on happening until we lay the axe to the root in our lives of the areas that need to be removed. And the first thing Jesus did, when I told you about the things he did, he came to preach good news, to save the lost. And that shows us the first root that needs to be axed. We must lay the axe to the root of sin through repentance. Listen, sin is rooted in self-centeredness and rebellion against God. Isaiah 53:6 says it this way: we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Well, what's the common thing you hear from people today? Well, this is my way. This is my belief. This is my truth. That people make up their own truth. People make up their own God. I don't need your made-up truth. I don't need your made-up God. I don't need my made-up truth or my made-up God. I need the real, true, and living God. We, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us turned to our own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The essence of sin is living like I want rather than how God wants me to live. Living for myself rather than for God. And the only way to deal with rebellion against God is through repentance. And repentance means change. In the Greek, it's metanoia, a change. It's a change of mind. But it's that change of mind results in a change of heart and a change of direction. It means I'm walking this way, and this is out of the will of God. I do an about face, and I walk this way. I just repented of that way of walking. I turned and went the other way. Repentance is not being sorry for what you did. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. People just think, well, asking for forgiveness is not repentance. You need to be sorry and you need to ask for forgiveness, but there's people who ask forgiveness all day long and never mean on changing. They're intending on doing it again, but I'm just going to keep asking for forgiveness. And the essence of sin is living like I want rather than how God wants, living for myself rather than for God. And we've got to deal with that. And we've got to live for God rather than ourselves. Listen to this. A lot of y'all never heard this verse. We talk about the reasons Jesus died and came to earth. Listen to this one out of 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for all. Amen? Amen. Come on, amen? That those who live should no longer live for themselves. When's the last time you heard that preached? Stop living for yourself. People this in this world, 99.9% of people are living for themselves. A high percentage of Christians are living for themselves. But live for him who died for you and rose again. It's human nature to want to live for yourself. We're always at war with that natural man. The natural man is your enemy. You don't want to be a natural man or woman. You want to be a spirit-led man or woman. But Jesus died so you could stop living for yourself. Isn't that interesting? You're praying for yourself all the time that God would give you all these things you want, and sometimes they are diametrically opposed to what he wants for you. And what he wants you to do is stop living for yourself and start living for him. Now listen, when a believer sins, the Holy Spirit will convict them of sin. At that point, we've got to make a decision, my way or God's way. And we've got to do something that you don't hear preached much anymore anywhere. It's called dying to self. Not that your self dies. I mean, I know in the old days, you know, I heard people come up to a pastor who was having a deliverance meeting or whatever, and I want you to cast out self. You can't cast out yourself. Yourself is who you are. You got to die to yourself. That's what people want. Just pray a good prayer with me, and it'll all be over, and I won't have to deal with me anymore. You know, I know people, you know, always want to move to get a fresh start, move to start over, and they change churches, move houses. And here's the problem. Everywhere you go, there you are. Can't get away from you. The Bible says you got to die to you. What that literally means is saying no to yourself and yes to God. I know it's painful. That's why it's called dying, but it will produce fruit. If we go God's way, it results in life and freedom. If we go our own way, it results in death and captivity. We need to be quick to repent or our hearts will get hard and the roots of sin will grow even deeper. So how do we lay the axe to the root of sin? Through repentance, confessing, receiving forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And some people would stop there, continually confessing, but never changing. Proverbs 26:11 says, this is a scripture, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. Going back to that situation, going back to that house, going back to that person, going back to where you know nothing's good coming out of it, but you go back. And so many people never change, but they stay stuck in their sin. I read this years ago, and it just came across my internet this week, and I just thought I wanted to read this. It's a poem by Portia Nelson called Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters. Okay? You ready? Yes. Chapter 1. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. But it isn't my fault. And it takes a long time to get out. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. But it isn't my fault. And it takes me a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it's there, but I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open, but it's the way I've always done it. I know where I am. It is my fault. And I immediately get out. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walked down another street. How long are you going to keep walking down that same street, falling in the same hole, acting like you didn't know it was going to happen? How? Laying the axe to the root means you got to change direction sometimes. Listen. Oh, this is going to hurt. Listen. So good. There's some things that need to be cut out of your life. That means not watching some stuff you're watching. That means not doing some activities. That means not hanging out with some people. You're hanging out with people that constantly drag you down, get you to the club, get you drunk, and all kinds of crazy things happen, and you go back the next weekend? And you're going to blame them? No. Stop walking down that street. Go down a different street. There's some places you don't need to go, some people you don't need to be around. Got to change streets. I heard about an overweight guy who always stopped by a bakery on the way to work to buy goodies for everybody else. But he had to stop it because he went on a diet. His doctor told him, you need to stop eating that stuff or you're going to die. So he changed his route to work and so he wouldn't have to drive by the bakery. That's good. He changed. That's what you do. You go down another street. But one day he had to drive by because he was on an errand for work and it was right by that bakery. He had to drive by it. And as he approached that bakery, he thought to himself, maybe God wants me to stop in that bakery and buy goodies for the staff. I know what I'll do. I'll put out a fleece. And if God makes a parking spot available right in front of that bakery, then I know I'm supposed to stop. And sure enough, there it was, a parking spot right in front of that bakery on his 15th trip around the block. You keep circling it long enough, you're going to fall into it. You keep playing with it long enough, it's going to burn you. Too many of us are got pet sins that we're attached to, and we just keep feeding them because we're so attached to them. But it won't die until you starve it. You've got to get ruthless with sin and Satan. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says this, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. The Bible also tells us in other places, multiple scriptures, to flee from lust, to flee from sexual immorality, to flee from idolatry. That's putting anything before God. To flee the love of money. So greater freedom involves both fight and flight. Fight Satan and flee from sin. The devil, listen, the devil cannot be ignored and the devil cannot be tamed. You've got to resist him in the faith. You've got to become a lion killer and stop thinking like a lion tamer. See, some of us just want to try to tame our lions, the big problems in our life. We want to tame them. We don't want to get rid of them. We want to tame them and keep it around. We don't want it to run our life or to ruin our life, but we still want it in our life. No. Listen, if you don't kill it, it will ultimately kill you. So many people die of addictions. And the thing that what they thought was keeping them alive kills them, ultimately kills them. And true change, listen, it requires real repentance. It's turning from those sins on those roots and turning to God. It's a continual thing in our own life. Now listen, God will let you go your own way. He'll let you try to overcome in your own strength. He'll let you try and fail to show you your own inability, to show you the weakness in your life, and to drive you to the cross, to drive you to Jesus. The cross is the key to getting free and staying free. The cross is where Jesus died for sin, and it's where he defeated Satan and made an open show of him and disarmed him. Our victory was won by Christ on the cross, and we've got to continually turn to the cross for victory. Are you thankful for the cross of Christ today? Listen. The cross paid the price to save us from the penalty of our sin, and the cross frees us from the power of sin. When we turn to the cross, we enforce the victory that Jesus won there by his blood. When we turn to the cross, we lay an axe to the root by reminding ourselves and Satan that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. When we turn to the cross, we turn from trying to get free and stay free in our own strength. We turn from trying and failing over and over again, and we realize that we can do all things only through Christ. Christ who strengthens us. When we turn to the cross, we lay the axe to the root of things that are holding us down and holding us back in life. And we've got to lay the axe to the root of deception by renewing our minds with the word of God. We've got to lay the axe to any kind of occult activity. There's so many people that even call themselves believers get involved in fortune telling and tarot cards and palm reading and seances and astrology and horoscopes. And the Bible specifically condemns those and any kind of witchcraft, and if there's any of that in your life, you've got to renounce it in the name of Jesus and cut that root and get rid of all that stuff in your house. You've got to lay the root to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will bind you up. You've got to learn to forgive and receive forgiveness. You've got to lay the axe to the root of generational sins or curses by verbally breaking the power of them in Jesus' name. I said verbally. Out loud. Some of y'all need to start talking back to the devil. The Bible tells us to take authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus, and that's something you've got to do by speaking it. Some of you need to speak over your homes in the name of Jesus. I don't know who lived in this home before me. Now, fortunately, we've lived in this house since we built it, so we got nobody else to blame. But you can say... It's a great house full of peace and love and joy. I'm telling you, it is. It is. But you got to pray over things. You got to pray over your kids. You got to pray against the enemy. You got to speak it. You got to out loud take authority in the name of Jesus. The Bible says resist the devil and he must flee from you. He must. But you've got to out loud speak in the name of Jesus. I resist this spirit of deception if it's operating in somebody else's life of your own. In the name of Jesus, we resist it and command it to flee. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this spirit of rage. In the name of Jesus, you must flee. There's some things that are just natural things in our own life, but you know sometimes it gets beyond natural. It's some kind of a supernatural power at work, and you've got to take authority over that. You've got the power to break that root in the name of Jesus. Listen, do you believe you can experience greater freedom? The Bible says all things are possible to those who believe. So listen, refuse to live one more day under the bondage of sin, under the bondage of Satan, under the bondage of your own self, which is one of the worst bondages of all. Lay the axe to the root and stand fast in the liberty in which Christ sets you free. Lay axe to the root and refuse to live like a slave to anyone or anything other than God any longer. Lay the axe to the root and you will never ever be the same again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Stand up and give him some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for your cross. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your name. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your authority. Thank you, God, for your power. Thank you for your freedom and liberty, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come down front. What's God saying to you? Listen, I'm telling you, in a room this size, there's lots of roots that need to be dealt with. Lots of them. Lots of them. And we'd love to pray with you. See the hand of God. Pray a prayer of agreement. See the hand of God move in your life for you to experience greater freedom. If you need to receive Jesus as your Savior, if you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you need healing, a miracle, whatever you need, if you need to pray for somebody else, Come down. Don't miss these opportunities. You can have an encounter with God here that can change you forever. I've had encounters with God at an altar that have changed my life forever. Love you so much. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss this moment. If you're convicted at all, don't miss this moment. Do not walk out that door. Lay the axe to the root. One of the things to do that is in moments like this, begin to respond to the conviction of the Lord. Begin to respond to the pull of the Lord to pull you down here, to pull you down here for prayer. Don't walk out without receiving it. Lord, thank you for everyone who's here today. I pray your blessing on them. I pray, God, all this week you protect them. You bless them, God, and you go before them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, see you here on Wednesday night. We're going to sing one more song, and we'll be dismissed.